Rabbi Yaakov Blau, Parshas Pinchas. Okay, I want to thank Rabbi Blau. A small crowd, but it's the quality that counts, and I appreciate each and every time. And it is the summer, and I thank you all for coming. I think it's on.
Okay, so first of all, I'm sorry about the title. I took up something cutesy. It's obviously about whether Pickles or Eliyahu. No sequels involved. I took a summertime, a good time for a sequel joke. Okay, so I'm sure you all know the famous equation of Chazal, the Pichas Eliyahu. When we talk about tonight, that there actually is a basis for that in the Psukim, and that interestingly, the Rabag of all people who expect to reject a measure like that actually takes it very literally. We'll talk about why. So first, let's see the source in the Medrash, the very first source from Yaakov Shimoni. Now, the equation of Pichas Eliyahu, if I put it out to the crowd, what quality would you say the two of them share? What makes Pichas Eliyahu seem similar? The quality of? There's a point where somebody's supposed to say something. Well, here's Hebrew Seychelles. Okay, I would have thought Pradesky would be about Kanos, because both of the zealots, right? Pichas, the one who gets up and kills Zimri, and then Eliyahu the one says, Kano Kanisha Shem Lokayo is a zealot for them. But interestingly, the Medrash does not pick up on that at all. Go to David's point. You look at the Yaakov Shimoni, it says, first source, Roshim and Lakish, Pichas Eliyahu, pretty straightforward, Pichas Eliyahu, Gosh Baruch Hu, Ata, you created peace in the world over here. You created peace in the future. Through Pasuk Malachi, it says that Yahu comes a harbinger of Mashiach. So this is supposed to be somehow Yahu brings Avos Abanim together, creates peace in the future. We're actually focusing on the Brit Shalom part, which is interesting because I kind of see it as a Chazal trying to put a positive spin on the comparison, rather than I think would have been the more normal assumption that's kind of like a overly zealous comparison, but spinning it more the Shalom part of it. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The question is, why would we say that Pichas Eliyahu? There's a broader issue here, which is in general, Chazal create characters. Generally speaking, we assume it's not meant to be literally. This all shares its own right. Why Chazal do that? The most common reason why is because they share similar qualities. Like over here, whatever it is that Pichas and Yahu have in common, is it the Kanos, is it the Brit Shalom, something about that similar, not necessarily saying they're really the same person, but rather saying they are similar type of people. But Ham Street, the Rabbag, very interestingly, thinks straight up of Pichas Eliyahu. Now, what leads the Rabbag to say that, we'll have to see over time. But first, we'll Shoftim 101. I see most of us, the last time we were Shoftim was in 7th grade, so let's have a quick review here. There's several famous Shoftim, like Yiftach. When I say famous, I mean relatively speaking for things that are famous in Navi, like Yiftach, Shimshon. But there are several times in the book where some nameless Navi comes, tells the people you have to repent. And once again, Chazal, besides equating characters, Chazal also don't like them being anonymous characters. When there's an anonymous character, Chazal always tried to tie it to some other character in Tanakh. Interestingly, each time it comes up in Shoftim, Chazal says that nameless character is Pinchas. Now, most of us would probably say, okay, Pinchas was an important character in Chumash. Shoftim is pretty soon afterwards, so Chazal kind of equated it. The Rabbag takes that very, very seriously. Okay, so let's see the first source over here.
What do you mean, that he was living in the time of Shoftim?
Yes, he thinks that, very interesting, Rabbag is going to say that he lives straight through. He says Pichas Eliyahu, that means literally, he lives from the time of Chumash all the way through time of Malachim.
And perhaps, yes,
that's the Rabbag, perhaps even beyond, but we'll see why in a second. Okay, so first, very interestingly, he's bothered by an interesting question. If you go with this option, let's say you take that very seriously, that Navi is really Pinchas. So raise a problem. So why is it that half the time in the book, Pinchas comes and talks to people, and half the time he doesn't, you have a shofet? Where's Pinchas in all the other stories? How come Pinchas is not in the Yiftach story? How come Pinchas isn't in the Shimshon story? So you go to the source in Shoftim, paragraph 5, says, Bish l'shol, sorry, let's just show l'shol, Achash ha'izai Navi Kayim, if you assume it's Pinchas, and Pinchas all year round, Echolachich Yisrael kol yamav, u'mirzlichol nevuos Devorah. The first question is, right in the beginning of the book, you have Devorah as a shofetess. Why do you Devorah? Why do you have Pinchas? Why do you need competition? Shouldn't Pinchas take care of them? He's saying that Pinchas didn't always give nevuos. He gave nevuos sporadically. V'lo ha'yabakorach yitasherbo lanhig ha'am. I guess because he was old, didn't have what it took to be the leader. Because he assumes that there's another step here as well, I'll talk about more in a second. Sometimes in Shoftim, I'm sorry I didn't copy the sources, I thought there's more than enough in this page as it was. Sometimes it quotes a Malach, sometimes it quotes a Navi. So it's a Navi, Chazal assumed that Navi is really Pinchas. Which says a Malach, the normal assumption that an angel came and spoke to the people. Well, the Rabbag, totally aside, in general believes in Tanakh, whenever it says a Malach does something, it always means a Navi. Okay, that's part of a board discussion. I'm sure you know the famous Machokas Rambam Ramban, being the Bayera, so the angels appeared to Abraham. So the problem is, can angels, people really perceive angels? So, I mean, what's the famous opinion of the Rambam? It didn't really happen, it was just a dream. And according to the Rambam, every time Tanakh, when an angel appears to somebody, it didn't really happen, it was just a dream. The Ramban, not surprisingly, does not appreciate that approach. Actually, he goes crazy on the Rambam, and he shoots that down. But the Rabbag, somewhat following the Rambam's footsteps, as he often does, the Rabbag was a big, big Rambam fan, I think somewhat accepts the Rambam's approach and somewhat rejects it. He agrees with the Rambam's assumption that you can't perceive Malachim. Malachim are too holy to be perceived physically. That's why the Rambam said it has to be a dream. But still ending up with the Rambam's conclusion that he saw them in a dream, he says, no, you got it all wrong. He says Malach, it means Navi. There was never an angel in the first place. So every time an angel comes to somebody, it's really a Navi come to somebody. But so the three angels came to Avraham, it means three Naviim came to Avraham. So Rabbag says that both his commentary on Chumash and throughout Navi. So also, when the angel appears to Gideon, if you recall the story, the angel appears to Gideon and says, go fight. Gideon's like, I don't know. They can prove it to me. Priest's like, I don't know. You can prove it to me again. Priest him again. So most people assume that was an angel. According to Rabbag, that was a Navi. And who was that Navi? It was Pinchas. So he says that, why did Pinchas not lead the fight himself? Why did he need Gideon? Because Pinchas is old. He never took. He had to get somebody else to do the fighting for him. So that's why he's, Dave looks unsure about that. Excellent. Oh, love it. Very good. Get that 1 second. Nice. You're 2 steps ahead. Okay. So first he says that, I guess because he's so old, he showed up sometimes, but he couldn't be the main guy. He had to be the backup quarterback. And that's why also when he needs to be to fight, Pinchas couldn't lead the charge himself. Okay, that's the question. I'll just raise this question. Okay, very good.
Never do that.
We say never do that in an auction. You get in a lot of trouble.
Class tip.
Yes, it does. We won't go there because it's all being taped. Right. So why did he get out? It says, "Asher." And here's interesting. The Asher could Kemosh Shehar Eliyahu Pamnir Palm Naalam Pshiyahu Ruach Hashem El Mokum Rachok. Eliyahu seems to be this character kind of pops sometimes in Navi, sometimes not around. So if you assume Pinchas and Eliyahu is a real equation, the Rabbag says Pinchas has the same quality. He's around sometimes, not around other times. You can't expect Pinchas to always be there. He'll show up when he shows up. Pinchas. Because at this point, he doesn't use the equation of Pinchas being Eliyahu, but we'll see a few more boxes later, he said that very explicitly that Pinchas and Eliyahu are the same person. For David's point, because he was old and not always around, that's why he could be Kohen Gadol the whole way through. Right, as we know, clearly there are other Kohen Gadolim throughout all Shoftim, wasn't Pinchas the whole way through. So why is that? Because Pinchas, when he was in his heyday, was Kohen Gadol. When he got old and all of a sudden started being a little more sporadic and showing up, if he had to pass the baton to somebody else, he could do the day-by-day running of the show. And he says, okay, that will get to, in a few minutes, the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, so it's a part that nobody ever reads, that seems to suggest that Pinchas was around in the time of David. So if you take that literally, which we'll talk about other approaches, that would mean that still from the Pesukim, Pinchas is around way later on. If you go with that, it's not so crazy to assume that he was a Navi throughout Shoftim. Okay, Harry looks uncertain about that. It's a little hard to imagine Pinchas really lived that long. But okay, we'll see. He quotes the Pesukim. Okay, very good. Okay, that's point number one. So first he says, take Chazal really literally that Pinchas was the Navi every time it comes up in Shoftim. He says, why is it only appear sometimes? Because like Eliyahu, he's old, and he couldn't do it all the time, and he showed up when they needed him other times. I don't know what he did other times. I know he's hanging out in Florida, but he showed up when they needed him. Other times, roving around. Okay, that's step number one. Okay, step number two is when the angel appears to Shimshon's parents, so we call the angel appears and tells him his son's going to be a Nazir, and you have to be a Nazir, who the you is, and it's a whole interesting discussion, just the mom, the both of them. So here, he tries to prove, and he generally feels the word Malach always means Navi in Tanakh, but an extra proof over here, which is very clever. So now, part to Gimel. Says, the angel appears to Manoach and his wife must be a Navi. saying, even if you believe, let's say the Rambam's totally wrong, you could perceive a malach, then you never see two people perceiving a malach. Usually it's one person who's getting the message from God. You don't find anywhere else in Tanakh where an angel appears to two people, saying that proves that the angel here can't really be an angel, it must just be a Nabi. Okay, that's pretty convincing. Although, the point to point out, even though the Rabbag is a very clever proof over here, the Rabbag throughout Tanakh always says Malach means Nabi. So I don't really think that, even though it's a clever proof from Manoach, he says about Avraham, he says every time the word Malach comes up. Right. So he said, I think it's never with Pinchas. Yerech Chazal do not say that, because Chazal goes to the assumption, says Malach, they take out a face value, means an angel. So the need to identify who it is, it's an angel. But if you assume that the angel is really a Navi, then you're stuck once again with this anonymous Navi. Who is this Navi? The Rabbag Lashitasa says Pinchas, because all the Naviim throughout Shoftim are named all Pinchas. So he said the same way the angel appeared to Gideon, didn't want to eat his stuff. So now the same angel, which is the Navi, which is Pinchas, doesn't eat either. If he's really an angel, it makes sense, right? He's going to eat the stuff I give him. If it's Pinchas, so why shouldn't Pinchas enjoy a little free food? So the Rabbag says, well, he's trying to impress on him that I'm acting the agent of God. So to show him I'm acting the agent of God, he says, I don't eat your food. It's all about the message. Okay, so we had two places so far. We assumed that Pinchas is around throughout Shoftim. Let's just see. Yeah?
I thought Shmuel never mentioned
Pinchas. My second problem is, I agree with you 100%. Throughout Shoftim, we're basically not much leadership. I understand that Pinchas shows up when you need him. Which means that if you think he's all the way through to Eliyahu, where is he in all the Shmuel? Where is he in Malacham Aleph? There are a million of him popping around. Like, what is Pinchas doing the whole time? Yeah, that's very weird for the Rabbag. I mean, even if you go to the explanation that he showed up when you needed him, like, they didn't need him the whole time, like, between Shoftim and Pekinzad and Malacham, like, was all good? First of all, it wasn't. A lot of problems along the way. Yeah, it's very, very strange. I got nothing on that one. Okay, let's see, what are the two sources to assume that he was wrong later on? The first one's very fascinating. At the end of Shoftim, I know it's going really way back for most of us, there are two stories at the end of the book. The story of Pesel Micha, right, where some character makes a Avodah Zarah, he has this guy be his Kohen, the people from Dan come, and they basically steal his Kohen. Because it's like, wait, you steal my Kohen? They're like, don't mess with us, we're stronger than you. He's like, all right, never mind, as you were. That's story number one. And basically, the point of all stories at the end, then we recall back from 7th grade, what's the refrain at the end of Shoftim? B'yam mehem? Nice, nice. The Tanakh got it back. Excellent, right. In those days, no king, Ish-yesh, but never yaseh. Basically, without leadership, there's anarchy. And those two stories trying to illustrate how there's total anarchy at the time. That's story number one. The more disturbing story is story number two, Plagish Pagibba, with a story where a guy runs away with his concubine, and they stay overnight in Binyamin, and they come and say, we want to rape him. So he said, no, take her instead. He shoves his concubine out. They rape her until she dies. He gets all his fighting to attack Binyamin. They get creamed the first two times. The third time they finally go crying back to God, like, God, what should we do? So this time you'll go and you'll win. And it was interesting that in that story, who is the Kohen Gadol who says, Tukul Rav Tumim? If you look at the next story, straight on the Pesukim, it's Pinchas. It says, with Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen, don't make any mistake, not another Pinchas, Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, the chance of being two of those floating around is very, very, very slim. So assume it's really Pinchas. If I know Ben Mehem, he was still around at that time. They more, as if, oh, let's say it's Mechama, Ben Yemen, Achi, and Machdal. The government says, should we fight or not? Ben Hashem, Alek, Mechach, and Abiyadacha. God says, fight this time, you'll win. So if this is the end of Shoftim, and Pinchas is still around then, it seems that Pinchas has been around throughout all of Shoftim, that gives a little credence to the Rabbag's idea that Pinchas has been around the whole time. What's interesting is that the assumption really all the way shown him. But yeah, how are you going to say that?
All this still doesn't answer why they don't use his name.
Right, so that actually is a big problem. Like, why was it that we don't... Okay, that's a good question in general. First of all, in general, Rav Chazal is the equation of, like, the anonymous character is somebody, so why is it anonymous in Tanakh? That's a good question in general. I would guess in this case, if the point is to... The nervous is trying to stress the fact that it keeps not working in Shoftim, and the nervous keeps coming, and then we're going to have a constant refrain of whoever we send doesn't work. But if we name Pinchas, it almost feels like we're blaming Pinchas. But what the book is trying to show is that
it doesn't matter
who comes. Whoever God sends, the people are not interested. Until you have a king, people are just going to kind of blow off whatever message they get. But it is a good question. I mean, look, like I said, that's a question every time. Whenever there's anonymous characters in Tanakh, the question is, so why does Tanakh just name them? Because sometimes the person is not important at all. Like, when Yosef is looking for his brothers, he finds some guy in the field who says, oh, your brothers went that way. So now that Chazal tried to equate who he is, you could argue he's just some very unimportant character. Right, but we never have an anonymous Navi, but the Navi wasn't important, like why don't you name him? The anonymous Navi several times in Tanakh. So it's a good question, I'm not blowing it off. I think that's a very broad question, Tanakh does that. What's interesting though is that the more modern approach is the structure of Shoftim is Shofar, 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 and there's two stories at the end. So the big question is it in chronological order, or is it the last two stories really happened earlier, but the book is printed at the end to kind of slam home the point, this is what the point of the whole book is, if you don't have an anarchy, you have chaos. So it could be that both the Pesach Micha story, the Pesach Megillah story, really happened much earlier in the book, but it's printed at the end, not because it happened then, because we're going to sum up that constant refrain of, if you go with that approach, so it could be maybe the Pesach Megillah story happened right in the beginning of Shoftim, in which case it's not weird that Pekas was still around, that's really right after Yeshua's time. So, yeah, he lived a long time, but basically he lived slightly longer than Yeshua, if you go with that approach. If you go with the approach until the end of Shoftim, that means straight up to Sikkim, he lived hundreds of years, pretty much per Kiddush. So if you go with the assumption that really those stories are in order, which I should point out all the Yeshua go with that approach, it's more modern approach to say that's just structurally summing it up, then it's pretty clear that Sikkim, Pekas was around, then already it's not so crazy to go with Rabag, that Pekas was around the whole way through. Okay, that's step number one. Step number two is really fascinating. Divrei Yamim Perek Aleph Tes. Now, Divrei Yamim, as most of us have never read, starts off with a long, really not interesting list of names. And then after a couple of parakim of that, it picks up with basically in Shmuel Beis when David becomes king. And after that, it's almost an alternate version of Shmuel Beis, an alternate version of Malachim. So there's actually a lot of nuggets in the first few parakim, but they're really very boring. So if you find the nuggets, they're fascinating. But it's one of the things where you can quote that, nobody will ever call you on it, because nobody will look it up. But here, Divrei Aleph Tes, it says, V'adheinu Abishar HaMelech Mizracha, Heim HaShorim Mechonos B'nei Levi. We're listing who the Qur'an and Levi'im were. This is in the time of David. Give a bunch of names. And then Pasach Chaf, it says, V'Pirchas Ben Lazar Nagar HaYelayim Lefinim HaShem Yimo. Pirchas Ben Lazar was still an important person. God used to be with him. If you assume that this Pinchas is really the Pinchas from Chumash, which we've seen the redact in a few minutes is a Machlokes, I don't say it's a big Machlokes because very few people read the redact in Divrei Yamim, say not in the first half of it. But if you go to, if you assume this is Pinchas, then now it was Pinchas around the time that Pinchas began and showed him. He was around all the time of David. So if you go with that, that's straight up the Pesukim, and the Pinchas lived for a long, long time. And well, so,
it doesn't say Ben Aaron of the second
one. Ah, exactly right. So the one in Shoftim is clearly, clearly the same Pinchas. The possibility of a Pinchas was of an arrow would be a crazy coincidence. This one is not as clear cut. Very good. That's why the redaction suggests maybe somebody else with a similar sounding name. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. Excellent. Okay, so far, the Rabbah has established, in his mind at least, that Pinchas lived for a long time. No clear equation with Eliyahu, right, that, and right now, but he thinks that Pinchas is constantly popping up throughout Shoftim. Okay, that's all step number one. Okay, now step number two is going to come up with Eliyahu appears in Malachim. He's going to say that straight up Pinchas is really Eliyahu. Part of that is going to be based on this matter. So part is going to be if you assume Eliyahu also lived for a very long time, and you assume that Pinchas lived for a long time, that's not as crazy to equate them anymore. These both these people are kind of like around forever. The question is going to be what's the evidence that Eliyahu lived for a long time? So first off, what's the most obvious proof that Eliyahu was around for a long time? Where does Eliyahu appear after he goes up in the chariot? What's the famous pasuk about Eliyahu? In the Dveka song? Exactly. And the Malachi said, I will send Eliyahu beforehand. Now, we could argue that means Eliyahu is dead now, and I will bring him back and send him before Mashiach comes. But if you go with, he's kind of like waiting until the time comes, then you basically say Eliyahu is almost the eternal person, it's always wherever God needs him. Okay, that's going to be number one. It's going to be a second one, also in Divrei Yamim. Okay, they'll just spoil, they're going to be spoilers, a couple later on. I'm sure you're all familiar from, certainly from you're in Israel, certainly if you went to a seminary with Muslim Eliyahu, with the famous book from Dussler, famous Machshava book, / Musar, / Chori propaganda, depending which part you're reading. So that name, Muslim Eliyahu, comes, oh, here's what I'm talking about, the part about Dastara. So that name, Muslim Eliyahu, comes from a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, where many years after Eliyahu goes to heaven, when the king gets a letter from Eliyahu saying, you're evil, you're going to die. So we'll see that in a few minutes. If you assume that Eliyahu wrote that letter at the time, that's several kings after he went up in the fiery chariot, then straight up the second once again, Eliyahu is around later on. So if you assume that Eliyahu for a long time and Pinchas for a long time, it's not as crazy to equate them. Now, I should point out a couple problems with that. First of all, it's not so clear-cut Pinchas for a long time. As we saw, the two proofs are Shoftim and Divrei Yamim, and each of them could be read as saying, it wasn't that long. Maybe Shoftim is out of order. The Divrei Yamim is different Pinchas. And Eliyahu for a long time was the other approach to Divrei Yamim and Malachi. That's A. B, if they both live for a long time, not every two people live for a long time are the same person. But in other words, It could be a Pichas for a long time. Let's assume that. A Yahu for a long time. But there's no evidence in between Pichas and Yahu. That's a lot of time in between with Aaron Pirat oil. Just because they're both for a long time doesn't mean they're the same person. I'm sure a logician would tell you that that's not a logic to say, you know, just because A is blue and B is blue doesn't mean A is B. It could just be people for a long time. Okay, but the Rabag very surprisingly goes with that. We'll see his logic is actually fascinating why he says that. So now, going on to Malachim now, when Eliyahu first appears. As he says, first he talks about local stuff. So let's skip to the second line. He says, Rosh Tedes, Shekvar Eskimu Ketas, Rabbi Sin Zuchal Mavracha, Ki Pichas Eliyahu. He said, some Chazal, not such a famous idea. What's interesting, just a quickie aside, I think everybody here knows the idea of Pichas being Eliyahu. But if you look in the Medrash, actually, it doesn't appear that often. I'm not saying that because I'm such a Baki by Medrash. I'm saying if you do a Bar Ilan search under Medrash or Pichas and Eliyahu within like five words of each other, almost nothing pops up. So it's one of the ideas that's become very popular kind of like in Jewish culture. It really didn't have that big a base in Chazal. Like, a lot of things in Chazal appear many times. This one's not that much out there. That's why I think Rabag is saying, some Chazal say that. I mean, Rabag is telling you, don't think this idea is as famous as you think it is. I think some people say that. So, Mefeimash, Mesina B'neim, Min Hasechus, because we see a lot of similar characteristics. Yizecher, the Torah, Shashem Yisprach, Nasan, and Spisa Shalom, David's point beforehand. Ram Hanabi, we see, I say, Yimah, Hachayim Bashalom. Okay, because it says in Malachi that I gave Chayim and Shalom to Eliyahu, and Pinchas because we see Shalom, and Pinchas, so that's the equation he makes. Which is interesting, because it's not the one that it said in the Medrash. The Medrash said that he'll bring peace in the future, not the B'si Shalom part. Okay, similar idea. Okay, so it says, I'm sad that got cut off a little bit. I know why that for some reason when you put you copy and paste from Bar Ilan with Google Chrome, it can't read Hebrew that well. So it will just do X amount of letters and cut off in the middle. What's a little bit frustrating is I realized that I fixed it up, but then I attached it to myself in Gmail to print it up somewhere else, and Gmail again screwed it up again. I didn't realize that. You have to double check it again. So even though my original had fixed it up, half an hour, but I forced it for nothing. Then redid it, and until I printed it up, I didn't realize that. So, my bad. Not look for the future. Not do that. It's not just PDF it. Please God. Anyway, Orchem Nefles is saying it seems that Pinchas got a ridiculously long life. Since we know that Pinchas still around Tembe Shpegeva, that proves he's for a long time. Uri made David. That's the person of Yavim. He's a guy in Tembe of David also. Pinchas of Pinchas Malaz and Nagar Haya, the Fenemza. And either Rabag established that he's a constant refrain to our Shoftim. Every Malach, every Nav is always Pinchas. Okay, so skip it a line. It's not the fourth line. Actually, that's Kepheru also. I think we get the idea. This is a very, very long Rabag, so let me review the whole thing. So we're now going to 2, 4, 5 lines down. It says, Mesanu Gamkin. So first he said, you see that Pichas for a long time, that he established in Shoftim. Now he's going to say that Eliyahu also for a long time, because we know that he's around even after he went up the fire chariot. That's the positive Yom got too soon. The proof of it, one is going to be the letter from Eliyahu comes later on Devar Yamim. When he spar, okay, they tried to prove that that was afterwards, but clearly it was. Can I skip that a little bit? Okay, now how he deals with that, as based on Machlokes, as Pin the Rabba, the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, let's skip a few lines. Let's come to the end there where he says, 2, 4 lines from the bottom, he says, Fishmer San, Rizah, Archa Nifam, and Achaim Leo, since we know that Leo also for a long time, Vinim San, Gamke, and Pinchas, Koshis Khan, we also know that Pinchas for a long time, Masan Bishnem, and Sias Ruach Hashem Osam, Kilim Ach Hashem, both of them are carried away by the Spirit of God. If you assume that the angel keeps disappearing in Shoftim is Pinchas, so Pinchas is constantly carried away by the Spirit of God. Eliyahu is carried up in the fiery chariot. That's a similar characteristic. So it seems that Pinchas was Eliyahu. Here's an interesting logic. Meaning, if we have to establish that Pinchas for a long time, that's very supernatural. If she established Eliyahu for a long time, it's also supernatural. The Rabbi says, I'd rather make them to the same character, this have one supernatural person living for a ridiculously long time, and have two people living super long time, and have two supernatural things happen. So essentially, his logic is that because he feels that he's doing the psukim, we're forced to accept something supernatural. So we're doing supernatural things, let's minimize as much as possible. So it's interesting, though, that what's more minimizing it? One could argue two people for a long time is less crazy than one person for thousands of years. But Bag is going with like, well, once they're living beyond the natural lifespan, let's just go for the gusto and make them live all the way from Bamidbar all the way down to Malachi, which one could have argued is much more supernatural than both of 300 years. But so Bag's logic of, given that we have to say something supernatural happened here, let's try to minimize it and equate them. Okay, really fascinating. Therefore, the Rabag, who's one of the last people to expect to say it, says that when the Chazal say Pichas Eliyahu, it's not just a similar characteristics, straight up for the same person. Okay, that's the Rabag. What's interesting, let's see the other approaches people take here. So first, for the Pesukim in Divrei Yamim, the Radak has two approaches. First, he says that it really is the same Pinchas, and Pichas lived for a ridiculously long time. But if you look at the lines from the bottom, he says, Yesh Mefarshim, Pichas Beleza Nagar HaYalehem, and it's a Pinchas HaKohen, the Pinchas HaYalevi, is how he's approached. That Pinchas wasn't the Kohen, that's not the original Pinchas, and some Levi was probably happened to be named Eliezer. This person would be weird. When he said that guy used to be with him, he's saying, the simple of the pasuk is that whoever this Pinchas is, God used to be with him, and now he's not. The way most of the Mefarshim read that is, it's the same Pinchas from Chumash. He used to be a Navi, he used to be a Kohen Gadol. By the time David came around, this old guy who doesn't have it anymore, and God's not with him. The way the Radak is reading it is, that other Pinchas, the one that you think he is, Hashem's with him. This Pinchas of Yamim is another guy with the same name. Hashem's never with him. He's just some Levi who had the good fortune of having the same name as Pinchas, so he rated a pasuk. So basically the point is, the other way of reading that pasuk is what Hai said beforehand. It doesn't call him a Kohen. It doesn't say Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, just Pinchas ben Elazar. You could just read it as some Levi you happen to have a similar name to Pinchas. So read that pasuk is not relevant to this discussion whatsoever.
I don't know enough about Yama, why do you call him a Levi, period? How do you know it's that
Elazar? Because interesting there that it did say, it talked about B'nai Levi. Right, so then it says that this Pinchas...
I had another second.
Right, but you look back and see, in the Chas, talk about Levi'im. Yes. This Pinchas is a leader over them.
Fine.
So you could argue that it means a Kohen was in charge of them.
Okay.
Right. Okay, nice. So let's try to deal with that one. Okay, now, from Leo, this is fascinating. And we're going to the other approaches to that. So if you look in Divrei Yamim and Beis Chafalf, so the Vishka Yoshef and Vosa, Vikram Vosa, Bir David, Mich Yehoram Ro Tach, okay, Yehoram is the king now. A few seconds later, it says, Vyar Velav Michtam Layahu, a letter comes from Layahu, Lemar, Kamar Hashem, Lekay David, Avicha, Tach, the Shalach, Vdechi Yoshef, Avicha, Vdechi Asmech Yehuda, Tach, Vdech Ma Israel, because it says to him, you didn't follow the good role models you had, you followed the evil role models. It says, Nes Yehuda, Vishvi Yushalayim, because the nurse based Achav, Mechach, Vsevicha, Tovim, Mechach, Rakta, you killed like good people. Basically, bad things can happen to you. Neshem, Nogef, Magef, Gedolab, Amcha, Venacha, it's going to end badly for you. The letter comes to this person years later saying, you're going to die. Okay, so the other Rabag read it was, Eliyahu wrote the letter many years after he went up to the fiery chariot, Melachim Beis Perek Beis, and must feel Eliyahu is still alive now, writing the letter. I read to the crowd, what are the other possibilities? How can you say that Eliyahu was really not around, but the letter comes from him? The two other approaches you could take. How is the letter becoming if Eliyahu is really God? Not everyone. Okay, the first one, and I think you guys are old enough to appreciate the movie reference. Okay, you may recall the end of Back to the Future 2. Do you remember the scene where all of a sudden a letter comes to a professor that he wrote in the Wild West enough for him to be delivered on that day later on? So you could argue that Eliyahu wrote it before he died. He basically stored it away in some bank account saying, don't deliver this letter until your home becomes king. And give him a letter saying, then the reference is wasted. So you guys are killing me. Record anything in school, anything before 2013, they think I'm old. So it's free copy, hate quote, have cultural reference. Oh well, or not.
That's something okay. Like that in Finding Dory.
Very good. Thank you, Ari. Okay, the point is, that's another possibility, is that maybe you wrote the letter beforehand. That's one possibility. And the other possibility is going to be that of the Radak, which is that Eliyahu appeared to somebody in a dream saying, write this letter on my behalf. So look at the Radak in Divrei Yamim. He says, Zahaya Echad Sha'Allah, this is after Eliyahu went up already. V'ninzeh kinigal Eliyahu b'ruch nevu al echem neviyim, so mefiv divi ha-mechtav hazeh. So he doesn't think Eliyahu was alive the whole way through. The Radak does not go that approach. He thinks Eliyahu went up in the fiery chariot and that's it, he's gone. Saying, but how could Eliyahu come from him? It must be that Eliyahu appeared to somebody in a dream after he was dead already and said, go write it. Then the question is, why did he need Eliyahu to appear to him? Why didn't he never just do it himself? So I would guess that he wanted to really scare the king. If a local Navi gives you a message, all right, it's a local Navi. If you get a message from Eliyahu Navi, the famous Navi who died 2 years ago, like, whoa, that's scary. Maybe that'll scare him into repenting. By the way, it didn't work. He didn't listen to it. So apparently that methodology does not work. Okay, just putting it out there. Right, so that's where Dax's approach. What's interesting is that if you go back to the rock part that I skipped, he rejects the approach that was written beforehand. I'm not going to read it inside. He says, it can't be written beforehand because he says, that would mess with Bechira. Because this king wasn't born yet. You didn't born yet. How could God write down a letter saying, when you sin, here's a message that you're going to get punished. He hasn't sinned yet. Now the problem with that is that there are several times in Tanakh where another gives a message before somebody's born of, something else will happen. The famous example being in Malachim, Perakapha Shud Gimel, when the king is evil, the Navi says to him, someday a child will be born, he's going to destroy this town, he's going to destroy all these altars. So he's predicting a child doing something many years before he's born. But some of that flies. Okay. Also, another famous example, this is really why it's so important historically, is that one of the major proofs that historians give why they think the two Shayos, two Isaiahs, is that in the second part of Shayos, quotes Koresh, king of Persia by name, many years before he's born. So historians say, how could it be the Shayos protecting Koresh somebody before he's born? It must be written from somebody in the time of Koresh. But Shadal, interesting, Shadal, not the firmest guy in the world, actually rejects that. He says, you see Malachim, that they predict Shayos being born many years before he's born, and that was clearly beforehand. So you see that happens sometimes in Tanakh. Once that could happen to Nach, it's not crazy to think that Yeshayahu is speaking Koresh being born by name before he's born. The point being, we see in Tanakh, sometimes people are named before they're born, so they're back to the idea of like, how could it be the Navi would know something before it happened? Doesn't mess up Bechira. I don't see that being any worse than God saying Yeshayahu is going to be born someday, that if you know how to do it, that mess up Bechira. He knew, that's the whole classical problem of how Nevuah and divine foreknowledge works with its pre-choice. Okay, so if we just sum up then and go to Ibn Ezra and Malachi, okay, basically what we've seen is that the Rabbah goes to the approach of Pichas Eliyahu, taking the message very literally, and his reason behind it says, assuming Pichas lived for a long time, and assuming Eliyahu lived for a long time, let's put them together and make it like one big, long, living a long time party. Okay, it's interesting that each proof he had could be read otherwise. His major proofs were A, all the anonymous people throughout Shofti being Pichas. That's not a good proof, because that's assuming that anonymous character is Pichas. Or maybe it's different anonymous Nubbies who aren't named, it's not Pichas at all. The only two times Pichas is named by name are in the story of Pekes Begiva and in the Pesukim Divrei Yom, which says that Pekes Ben Laza was a ruler. Now, Pekes Begiva's story could say really happened earlier, it's out of order, because the last few stories are kind of hinting on the point to show of them that there's anarchy without a king. And Divrei Yom's story could be if there were Dak and Divrei Yom, it's just some lady who had the good fortune of having Pekes the same name. That's really cool, that's where he mentioned him. That's A. And since Eliyahu living for a long time, the proofs are twofold. One is the letter from Eliyahu coming in Divrei Yamim, and then Eliyahu coming to Malachi. Malachi one is obviously not the best proof because a lot of stuff happened to Mashiach and supernatural. Maybe Eliyahu will come back. Divrei Yamim one, there are three ways of reading that. You could say they're still around. That is the Rabbah approach, therefore proving Eliyahu lived for a long time. You could say if they're Dak, that no, really, he didn't live for a long time. He appeared in a dream to a Navi and said, write this letter in my name. The third approach from the Rabbah rejects, but it's a cool approach, because maybe Eliyahu wrote before he died, just stored away somewhere to be sent afterwards. You know, finally, in Malachi, the famous psukim from the Dveka song, Eliyahu come from Mashiach, return fathers to sons to fathers. It's interesting that everybody knows that part. People we often skip that it actually ends off with, because if it doesn't do that, I'll destroy everybody. That actually ends on a real bummer note, which is why the second class pasuk is repeated again to end a good note. That happens four times in Tanakh, Yeshayahu, Malachi, Kohalas, and Echa. When the book ends on a bummer note, you don't end on a bummer note, but it's terrible. So we repeat the second class pasuk to get like a nice kind of sweet ending. Okay, that's a side there. So Ibn Ezra there has a quick little, let me give you my take on Eliyahu. Now very few people know about this Ibn Ezra, because how many people read Ibn Ezra as a Malachi? Not many. Yes. So the book there, he says, second line, "V'nei echtam pirushah sefer b'devar Eliyahu." Saying, now that I've finished all of Tereser, let me give you my take on Eliyahu. "V'sanu shayya b'mei achaz Yahu, achar l'shuv l'Hashem avasubban." Sorry, third line. "V'sanu kas kibirom b'nyu achar b'shafat shal Elisha Navi." Yes. So, Elisha's around. I mean, Eliyahu's got time yarm. He's trying to prove. Right. Sorry. So, the third to last time, sorry. After Eliyahu went up into the tavern ready, a letter comes from Eliyahu. Is a Yeraki Az Kasfo. He's going with the assumption he wrote it then, not that he wrote it earlier. B'shachol Alav. V'yohaki Shmuel Asel. Hakshiv Yemseh. Or V'yavori La Mechtav Shinich Leyo. V'yohad Rav Himself. What does he say to Leyo? Should have said a letter Leyo left over. A letter Leyo suggests somebody else to write. Since a letter Kim Leyo, this is he wrote himself. B'shav Kimei Chachameinu Hakadosh. Hakadoshim Hakadosh. Okay, this is a little messed up here. He's saying that the same way Eliyahu is always the character in the Gemara appears when you need like some guy to come save the day, Eliyahu appears. The Ibn Ezra very simply takes out literally that Eliyahu is basically God's messenger. After God brought him up to heaven, he lived a long time. He's kind of God's right hand man. Whenever God needs somebody to go, he sends Eliyahu. So he sends the letter in Dvar Yamim. Whenever Eliyahu appears in the Gemara, interestingly, I would have said, or excuse me, Ibn Ezra would take that not literally, but like, not really Eliyahu appears, just saying that God's appeared to people. Takes it literally, Eliyahu is kind of God's messenger. We never need somewhere to go, he sends him. How you read that? Is that some supernatural? Is it like kind of like he preserves Eliyahu, Eliyahu kind of like gets frozen until he comes out? It's a little bit unclear. But his take is that Eliyahu is always around, God needs him, but not only for a long time, but more like God's kind of saving him up for the time he needs him. But just in taking it, he doesn't say anything about Pri Chasam in a long time. I don't think Ibn Ezra goes with all that. He does think Eliyahu was around the whole time, but not the way the Rabbah reads it as basically lived forever. He reads it as he's God's kind of messenger man. If he needs him, God sends him, he needs him. Sends him for Yamim, or sends him Malachim, sends him throughout the Gemara time as well. Okay, so what's interesting here is that the idea of Pinchas ben Eliyahu, the famous Medrash, I think it's interesting the Rabbah actually takes that literally. I don't think most of us would assume that Amber would say that, sitting at the Rabbah, because you just never know. That's where you have to read them before Shem, because you know, never know until you read them. Okay, no nice takeaway for this. Let's see if we can think of some sweet, fluffy message for this. I can't think of one, but that's always an interesting take. Thank you all for coming.